You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. Russian-controlled media tonight now showing two of the Americans missing in Ukraine. Tonight, what they're showing, former Marine Corporal Andy Huynh, believed to be under some duress, making a pro-Russian statement. The video reportedly shot in a Russian detention center in the Donbass region in the east. Another video, a former Army soldier, Alexander Druki, with a message for his mother.
I hope to be back home as soon as I can be, so love diesel for me. Love you.
And tonight here, news on the third American, a former Marine captain, James Longman, inside Ukraine with late reporting tonight. Also, as we come on the air this evening, the severe storms hitting tonight across several states in the east. And what about Father's Day? We have that, and now another dangerous heat wave building. Rob Marciano standing by to take us through it all. The deadly shooting at an Alabama church. We learned late today a third person has now died. Authorities tonight charging a 70-year-old man with capital murder. Elwin Lopez on the scene. News on the pandemic tonight, and vaccines will be available likely first thing next week for children under five in this country. But tonight, what Florida's governor is now saying about vaccines for toddlers and what this could mean for parents in that state. And the news tonight on long COVID symptoms long after you have it, what researchers have now revealed. Steve Osunsami reporting. Tonight, 24 hours after the January 6th committee revealed that former President Trump was told that what he wanted Mike Pence to do was illegal. Tonight, the former president going after Pence again. John Carl is standing by. Tonight, just days after the Fed raised rates, the news on mortgages already, the impact immediate. But some brokers tonight who hope there might be a key silver lining in this for some of those who have been looking to buy a home for some time now. Victor Akendo explains. The couple kidnapped at gunpoint hiking in Colorado, how this played out. Also tonight here, Paul McCartney and the surprise guest on stage with him. And of course, we celebrate our dads tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together here. We'll get to those severe storms in parts of the east tonight, Father's Day weekend, and this next heat wave already building. But we do begin tonight with the American veterans missing in Ukraine, two now believed to be in the custody of Russian forces. The families of the men desperate for any news. The men are among as many as 20,000 foreign volunteers who have traveled to join the fight in Ukraine. Two of them from Alabama, seen together in this image, Alexander Druki and Andy Huynh. And tonight, the new images from state-controlled media in Russia showing Andy Huynh, believed to be under duress, delivering a pro-Russian propaganda message. And Alexander Druki sending a message to his mother back home. And then late today, retired Marine Captain Grady Kirpas has been identified as a third American volunteer now missing in Ukraine. His family hasn't heard from him since April. Tonight, the Kremlin is denying they know anything about these men. President Biden saying he has been briefed, and the president again urging Americans not to go to Ukraine. ABC's James Longman leading us off tonight from eastern Ukraine.
Tonight, state-controlled media in Russia has released videos of two Americans taken captive in Ukraine. 27-year-old Andy Huynh of Alabama was recorded here delivering pro-Russian propaganda, presumably coerced into doing so. ABC News will not air the contents of the message. The Russian news outlet RT says the video was recorded yesterday in a detention center in the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine. Another video shows 39-year-old Alexander Druki, also from Alabama, delivering a message to his mother.
Mom, I just want to let you know that I'm alive, and I hope to be back home as soon as I can be.
The two went missing about a week ago, fighting alongside Ukrainian forces outside Kharkiv in the country's northeast, which is very close to the Russian border. Back home, the families of the men are desperate for any information.
It's stressful because we don't have answers at the moment. Waiting is always very hard, but we are encouraged.
And tonight, a third American is missing in Ukraine. He's identified as retired Marine Captain Grady Kirpas. His family tells ABC News they've not been in contact with him since late April, when he was believed to be in the Kherson region of southern Ukraine. Family spokesman Don Turner served with Grady for 12 years in the Marine Corps.
Couldn't stress enough the sheer fact that he cared more about others than he did himself.
Despite the release of the videos, the Kremlin earlier today denied having any information at all about captured Americans. And today, President Biden said the whereabouts of the men are unknown.
I have been briefed. We don't know where they are, but I want to reiterate. Americans should not be going to Ukraine.
But hundreds already have, according to conservative estimates. Last month, ABC News interviewed soldiers of the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. At least 25 in this unit outside Kharkiv were American.
Really, we just wanted to help the Ukrainian people. We believe that their fight is a just fight, and we wanted to be here and support them.
So let's get right to James Longman with us again tonight from Dnipro in eastern Ukraine. And James, these captured Americans, and of course the question tonight, what if any protections they have? Are they considered prisoners of war here? Do we know anything on that front yet?
Well, David, the main issue here, David, is that they're being held by Russian-backed separatists in the east rather than by Moscow itself, which gives the Kremlin a certain degree of deniability. They don't regard them as prisoners of war. They regard them as mercenaries. David?
A lot more to come on this story, and we're thinking about those families tonight. James Longman leading us off again tonight from Ukraine. James, thank you. Back here at home tonight, and to the severe storms expected across several states in the east tonight, thousands of flights canceled in the past 48 hours because of weather. The southeast in the bullseye again tonight. More than 30 million Americans on alert. High winds and heavy rain in Raleigh, North Carolina in the past 24 hours already. A high water rescue from a flooded SUV in Columbia, South Carolina. And the images from Boston tonight, planes waiting for gates upon arrival. More than 200 flights canceled or delayed at Logan Airport alone. The ripple effect here. And now the dangerous heat wave building yet again, a second one already. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. As we've seen all week, that dangerous heat is feeding some of these storms. It hit 99 degrees, breaks a record in D.C., and we had golf ball-sized hail in parts of Tennessee, winds gusting over 60 miles an hour in Kentucky. Look at where that line is now. It's crossing the Carolinas. There's a watch up in through Georgia. These are dangerous storms now that are going through Raleigh. They will calm down over the next couple of hours, but immediately it's kind of dicey. Here's the Father's Day outlook. We do get some relief east of the Mississippi, but that other heat wave is building in the central U.S. 98 degrees expected in Dallas, 101 in North Platte, and then here we go again. By midweek in Chicago and Atlanta and Raleigh, temperatures getting close to or over 100 degrees for another dangerous heat wave coming. David?
Rob Marciano with us tonight. Rob, thank you. We turn to the other news this Friday night and to the deadly shooting at an Alabama church, a gunman opening fire at a potluck dinner, fatally killing two people. We learned a third person has now died as well. Police called to the scene of an active shooter, a hero inside the church, pinning the gunman down until authorities arrived. The Stevens Episcopal Church, the latest safe space, then struck by gun violence. Tonight, the suspect, a 70-year-old man who had been seen at the church before, has now been charged. ABC's Elwin Lopez is on the scene in Alabama.
Tonight, authorities charging a 70-year-old man with capital murder, accused of killing three people inside an Alabama church.
Have an active shooter situation. Multiple patients at this time.
Late today, officials say Robert Finlay Smith, seen here in this newly released mugshot with a black eye, opened fire at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church during a potluck dinner on Thursday.
He produced a handgun and began shooting, striking three victims.
The founder of that church saying his wife spotted the suspect there more than once.
My wife says that he looked like he didn't take very good care of himself. And he had a hard time communicating with people.
Police crediting another attendee with stopping the shooting, taking the gunman down and pinning him until officers arrived.
It was extremely critical in saving lives. The person that subdued the suspect, in my opinion, is a hero.
Officials identifying the victims as 75-year-old Sarah Yeager, 84-year-old Jane Pounds, and 84-year-old Walter Bart Rainey.
One of the kindest people that you can imagine. If you wanted to pick out somebody that just you'd love being with, it would be Bart Rainey.
And David, police say they believe the gunman acted alone and that there are currently no threats to the community. And tonight, officials have not released a motive. And David, I spoke to the founder of this church just a few moments ago, and he says that this will become a place of peace once again. David.
All right. Elwin Lopez in Alabama. Elwin, thank you. We turn now to the pandemic tonight, and this evening the FDA has now cleared the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines for children under 5 and as young as 6 months old. The CDC now is expected to give the final green light on this over the weekend.
States across the country have pre-ordered these doses for the youngest of children, except for Florida, rejecting federal guidance. So how will parents there get their children vaccinated? Also tonight, hear the news on long COVID and the symptoms you'll feel long after you have it, particularly with the Omicron variant, what researchers have now found. Steve Osunsami at the CDC in Atlanta.
With the stamp of approval from the FDA, drug makers tonight are shipping millions of doses of the COVID vaccine for the youngest children in America to pediatricians and pharmacies around the country.
Whatever vaccine your healthcare provider, pediatrician has, that's what I would give my child.
Children under five could start getting the shots on Tuesday after the CDC gives a final approval expected this weekend. But many parents in Florida may have to wait. It's the only state that didn't order doses of the children's vaccines ahead of time.
It's infuriating. It's making it very difficult for parents that do want to get their children that are under five vaccinated.
State officials are disagreeing with scientists and public health experts at the CDC and the FDA, saying that they don't support giving the COVID vaccine to healthy children under the age of 17.
Doctors can get it, hospitals can get it, but there's not going to be any state programs that are going to be trying to, get COVID jabs to infants and toddlers.
We need to make vaccine access as easy as possible for providers and parents. And that just isn't happening in Florida right now.
And Steve Osunsami with us tonight from the CDC. And Steve, so we await these shots likely first thing next week for the youngest of children across this country. In the meantime tonight, so much attention on long COVID in this country. And we know there's new research out on long COVID, particularly involving the Omicron variant.
That's right. There are ongoing concerns, of course, about the long-haul, long-term effects. And this new study has some interesting findings. It finds that people who got sick with the Omicron variant of the coronavirus were less likely to suffer these long-term, long-haul problems. And that's likely because the Omicron variant caused milder symptoms. David.
Steve Osunsami from Atlanta tonight. Steve, thank you as always. Next here this evening, 24 hours after the January 6th committee revealed that former President Trump was told that what he wanted Mike Pence to do on January 6th was illegal. Tonight, the former president going after Pence again. Here's our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
After three hearings documenting the horrors of January 6th, the attacks on officers, the threats against Mike Pence's life, and 24 hours after the January 6th committee showed that Donald Trump was told what he was asking of his vice president was illegal, Trump today denied the undeniable facts, saying only a, quote, small number of people went to the Capitol that day, and many did nothing wrong.
It was a simple protest. It got out of hand.
The January 6th committee showed just how close the mob calling for Pence's execution got to the vice president, at one point just 40 feet away. Today, Trump attacked Pence once again.
Mike Pence had a chance to be great. He had a chance to be, frankly, historic. But Mike did not have the courage to act.
Trump's own advisors have testified that they told him what he wanted Pence to do was illegal. Today, he repeated lies about the election that his former attorney general said he told him were just not true.
I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was.
As for those being prosecuted for the attack, Trump said he might pardon them if he becomes president again. All this comes after the warning from respected conservative legal scholar and retired Judge Michael Luttig.
That's still Donald Trump and his allies and supporters are a clear and present danger to American democracy.
That warning of a clear and present danger. John Carl with us from Washington again tonight. And John, I know the Justice Department has been calling on the January 6th committee to turn over the transcripts of its interviews with these key witnesses. And tonight you've learned that that could happen as soon as next month.
Well, the chairman of the January 6th Select Committee, Benny Thompson, has said that he will not turn the transcripts over until their hearings are over. David, the hearings are scheduled to be completed by the end of this month. I am told that shortly after the hearings wrap up, they will likely turn the transcripts over, in other words, as early as July.
All right, David. John Carl, who's been with us all week long on this. John, we appreciate it. We turn now to the economy and news tonight on mortgages across this country. This comes after a tough week already, that massive interest rate hike aimed at taming historic inflation here in the U.S. Stocks closing out their worst week since March of 2020. And just days after the Fed raised those rates, the news on mortgages, the impact, and some brokers tonight who hope there might be a key silver lining in all this for some of those who've been looking to buy a home for some time now. Victor Akendo from Florida with the explanation.
Tonight, after the biggest weekly jump in mortgage rates since 1987 and home prices at record highs, an already tough year for home buyers just got tougher.
The average monthly payment for a mortgage has gone up 40% since the end of last year. And that's accounting for both rising interest rates and rising home prices.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell announcing the biggest rate hike in decades, hoping the move will stabilize home prices.
I would say if you're a home buyer, somebody or a young person looking to buy a home, you need a bit of a reset. We need to get back to a place where supply and demand are back together.
It's been a frenzy.
But here in South Florida, one of the hottest real estate markets in the country, realtors like Jamie Tompkins hope there is a silver lining in these rising rates, helping some of the 12 million prospective home buyers that are priced out of the market, many of them first-timers.
It'll be a factor. It'll start to slow it down a little bit, but honestly, we need a little more normalcy in our market. So the interest rates will just add to more normalization of the market.
So you're kind of in favor of what's happening right now?
Well, it's been too crazy. So it's been, you know, properties go on the market, they go right away. Now we are starting to see a slowdown where the average buyer can get into the market and it's not a bidding war.
And experts we spoke with say that these mortgage rates could stay high until 2024, but warn it's difficult to make those projections. Bottom line, David, this red-hot housing market we've seen for the last decade finally showing signs of slowing down. David?
Well, let's hope there is that silver lining that broker talked to you about. We'll see. Victor, thank you. We turn back overseas this Friday night. Two more headlines, one from Moscow. In a court there, sentencing American teacher Mark Fogel to 14 years in prison now, accusing him of, quote, large-scale cannabis smuggling. Fogel was detained at the Moscow airport last August. Authorities claim they found marijuana and hash oil in his luggage. He says it was prescribed by a doctor. Those are the same charges that WNBA superstar Brittany Griner faces. She was detained at the Moscow airport in February. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is one step closer to being extradited to the United States tonight, the British government approving the U.S. request that Assange be sent here to face spying charges. Assange's lawyer says he will appeal. The charges stem from the publication by WikiLeaks in 2010 of thousands of U.S. government classified files and cables related to the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. When we come back here on this Friday night, the couple kidnapped in Colorado, how this played out, and then later the surprise on stage with Paul McCartney.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Tonight, we are learning more about a terrifying ordeal for a couple kidnapped while hiking in Colorado. Authorities say a man took the husband and wife at gunpoint in Jefferson County near Bear Creek Lake. A witness alerting authorities, staying on the phone until police were able to locate the couple.
Just beforehand, authorities arrived. The husband was able to disarm the suspect, who is now in custody. No one was hurt. To the index of other news tonight, and Sir Paul McCartney is getting ready to celebrate a major milestone. He turns 80 tomorrow, and what better way to mark the big birthday than on stage? Last night in New Jersey, the sellout crowd got quite a surprise when Sir Paul was joined by the boss, Bruce Springsteen. Wish I was there. The two performing Springsteen's classic, Glory Days. And tonight, as this country prepares to mark the Juneteenth national holiday this coming Monday, a note about a special right here on ABC Tonight. You'll remember President Biden signing the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act into law 1 year ago today. Well, this evening here, tune into ABC at 8 Eastern, 7 Central for a joyful event. Soul of the Nation presenting Sound of Freedom, a Juneteenth celebration. That's later tonight right here. Finally tonight here, the dad stepping in to take the children fishing. America strong. Tonight here, William Dunn from Lakeland, Florida, a father with two children and two grandchildren as well, and what he now does for so many other children too. William grew up fishing with his dad. He took his own children fishing along the way, and now he tries to take as many children fishing as possible, particularly those who don't have a father figure to take them fishing on their own.
I've been Travis.
Many of the children had never been fishing before.
Oh, there you go. Sand perch, man. Good job, buddy.
Holding a fishing pole.
That's what it's about, buddy.
The big catch.
That's it right there, buddy. Claim your prize.
William creating a nonprofit, Take a Kid Fishing, Inc. 3.5 years later, more than 2,500 children have now gone fishing with him and his team of volunteers. And right here tonight, William and his message.
I just want to let y'all know that I'm here for your needs if you ever need anything, that you need somebody to talk to or lean on or just discuss problems. I'm here for you guys.
William, who was there for his children and now his grandchildren, also there for so many other children out there too, and always ready to ask that question, what did you catch?
What'd y'all catch? Let me see them.
We caught a fish.
Are y'all having fun?
Yeah.
Now we just love this. We celebrate William and all of our dads and stepdads out there. And William, let us know if you catch anything good this weekend with the kids. I'll see you right back here on Monday. From all of us here, happy Father's Day. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.